Because he's keeping us anyway.
Yes, he is.
Through it all. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. But he's keeping us. And we just gotta rely on God. God wants to help us so much, so why don't we just let him do it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? God wants to help us so much. Let's let him do it. Amen. I can do it myself. Oh my gosh. Some of the biggest mistakes I've made in my life, I look back on them when I just thought I knew. I knew it. And it turns out I didn't. And then I had to pay the price. Let God help us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his help. And thank God for Bible study. Amen. We're going to come back to our Bible study. Living with God is tonight's title as part of our family reunion life in heaven. And looking forward to that family reunion too. This life is challenging on this side of glory. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, we as believers, as Christians, we know the Lord. We have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. We have the fellowship of the saints. We have the ability to come before the throne of grace and to make our requests known unto God. I mean, we have all these things, and it's still a challenge.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of me, you know, has just become more and more sensitive to those who don't have the relationship with God, don't know God, you know, don't know his word, aren't, you know, part of the covenant promises. And they're going through life as well, but without the help.
Yeah.
And so part of me has become a lot more sensitive to that and desiring that that will change for whoever that particular person might be. We need God in this world.
Amen.
Amen. And I just thank God that we have him. I certainly look forward to that family reunion, though.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So let's continue to study that. Last time we were looking at seeing God face to face. And tonight we just want to move a little bit deeper into the promise that's in the Word, that we would dwell with God, or I should say, God will dwell with us. So we want to look at that and see what that means. Because here's the thing. You know, we were talking all these weeks about being in heaven and seeing loved ones and doing activities, right? But isn't like the primary thing being able to see God?
Amen.
True.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, it should be.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, well, why do you want to go to heaven? Well, you know, I want to see what it looks like. And you know, I was reading too that some people have made movies about heaven and never mentioned, like they talk about seeing their loved ones, seeing mm-hmm. this, seeing that, mm-hmm. but there's no mention of seeing God.
Exactly, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you this. If God is not in heaven, you're not in heaven. You're somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
But someone tricked you because that's not heaven.
Yeah. Mirage.
That's true.
God's dwelling place is in heaven. And
yes.
If you get somewhere and God's not there, that's not heaven. No. Somebody pulled the wool over your eye. So if we talk about heaven, we have to talk about God
yes.
being there, because that is his dwelling place. So we're going to look at that tonight. Let's pray, and then we'll go right into tonight's lesson. Father, to you we give the praise, and to you we give the glory, God, because you're worthy. And Father, we stand here and sit here tonight as thankful people. Thankful, oh God, that you are our God and we are your people. Thankful, oh God, for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who teaches and leads us into all truth. And Father, it is our prayer now that we will be taught the word of God tonight, that we will hear your voice, and Father God, that we will be filled with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We bless you now for the promise you shall make, And we give you the praise and thanks for being God. We lift you up and we exalt you because you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, so living with God, God's promise to dwell with his people. Let's just look at a couple of scriptures to start. I think it's always good to start with scriptures, amen.
Amen.
Leviticus 26, 11 through 12. God says, I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. Similar promise that we see in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 26 through 27. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And then finally, 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And so we praise God, right, that God wants to dwell with us. I mean, that's clear from the Bible that with his people, God says, I'm going to dwell. That's why, you know, the New Testament refers to the Holy Spirit as the earnest payment, right, the down payment for God's promise to redeem us unto himself. It's sort of like, you know, how you make an earnest payment for a house. They even call your down payment your earnest payment. That's showing that by putting down a significant sum of money, you're letting the other person know you are earnest about this. You're serious about completing the transaction, right? That's why, because if you're gonna buy a house, they want that 20%.
Right.
Because if you're gonna put up 20% for, you know, to purchase this thing or more, you're serious about the transaction.
Yeah.
Right? Because you now put down enough where you got some skin in the game, so to speak, right? And so they can say, no, he's earnest about this. He or she's earnest about it. She wants to complete this transaction. And so the Paul talked about the Holy Spirit being the earnest payment. It's God's way of saying, I'm serious about saying, I'm going to come back and get you. Because I'm giving you, I'm depositing in you my Holy Spirit. And we praise God for that, right? That God dwells with his people today through the Holy Spirit. But God the Father and God and the Lord Jesus Christ reside in heaven. And so there is this kind of a physical separation between us and the Father and the Son. We have the Holy Spirit with us.
Yes.
And we have, because that's that earnest payment that God has, you know, he's deposited within us. But there is separation between us and God the Father and God the Son. When I say separation in terms of, we're not in the same place. But God, when he says here, though, he says that he wants to dwell among us, meaning I'm going to be right where you are.
Okay.
And there will be no more separation between God and man. And we talked about this a little bit last week about, okay, and we're going to see God face to face. But what does it mean? God says, listen, I want to dwell with you. Right? What does that mean to you? Like when someone says, I want to dwell with you. God saying, I want to dwell. What does dwell mean? And so what's sort of captured by that? You know, I want to live with you.
Stay with you. Stay with you.
I want to stay with you. Okay? I want to live with you. I want to stay with you.
Socialize with you.
Yeah, right. I want to socialize with you. I'm going to interact with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to do things with you. I want to converse. I want to talk with you. I want to go have some fun with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you say you want to dwell with somebody, you're not just occupying the same space. You're sharing.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? You know, you don't, well, yeah, I can say that in here. You know, husband and wife, family, they don't just live in the same house like this is like our common, you know, we both got the key. But we don't say anything to each other. You know what I mean? That's not living. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what you call that, but that's not what, you know, I wouldn't consider that to say, oh, you live. You live, you interact. Mm-hmm. You enjoy the company. Mm-hmm. I was telling someone, I don't know, I forget who it was, a couple of weeks ago, and I was just saying to them, I said, one of the most amazing things, and I think we constantly take it for granted, is how much God wants to be with us and to talk with us. Mm-hmm. And live with us. And, you know, like even prayer. If we would think of prayer of God really wants to talk with us, He wants to hear from us, and He wants to converse with us, would prayer be so hard? Sometimes prayer is hard. Why is prayer hard? Because we're so focused on what we want to say. What we want to say. But if we would just relax a little bit and say, wait a minute, God wants to talk to me. And He wants me to talk to Him. Anybody here ever get mad because somebody didn't talk to them? Mm-hmm. And if any of those people who didn't talk to you, is there any one of those people who weren't talking to you at the time, are they not talking to you now? Mm-hmm. And aren't you making out just fine? But it's just so funny to us that sometimes we can get, you know, we can get bent out of shape because a human being doesn't want to say anything to us. Mm-hmm. And yet if wanting to talk with somebody and wanting them to talk to us is so important that we would get mad and bent out of shape when another human being doesn't want to do that, why don't we rejoice without ceasing at the idea that the God of the universe wants to talk to us? It doesn't seem to make sense. If it's so important for Shanae to talk to you or whoever to talk to you, and she's not, and now you're mad, but here you got God who wants to talk to you. Mm. I don't know, part of it is because the other person's in the flesh and blood, and you can see them, and I get that. But man, if we're walking by faith and we really kind of meditate, sometimes we just got to stop and just think about the awesome truth of what that is.
Yeah.
So, like a lot of the truths of the Bible, don't sometimes when you really think about the fact that you're saved, it just fills you with such a, you know, you're so glad and you're so grateful. But sometimes you got to stop to actually think about it.
Yeah, it's true.
Jesus died for me. Mm-hmm. You got to sometimes actually stop to think about it. Because, you know that, you're aware of it, and I get it. But when you actually stop to think about that, when you actually stop to think that, my sins have been washed away. I mean, it can lift guilt off you right away. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. But if you just sort of go along and you don't stop to think about it, it's something you know, but it's almost like it's in the recesses of your mind when it should be in the forefront of your mind. And I think, you know, we bring to the forefront of my mind, God wants to talk to us and dwell with us and be with us. I don't know. I think it just will take us to another level. Amen? Mm-hmm. So God says, I want to dwell with you. Let's look at Ephesians 1 and 10, because it's all throughout the Bible. Look what it says here. It says, God made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And we understand that that is the ultimate goal. That's why every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything is going to be under the headship of Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen? And so, you know, there's going to be a time where that separation that currently exists because God and the Lord Jesus are in heaven, the present heaven, we're down here and he's, you know, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. But there's going to be a time when that's going to change. Right? And remember how we saw in Revelation where it talks about the new Jerusalem coming down? Mm-hmm. Right? Out of heaven. And it comes down. Mm-hmm. And as the new Jerusalem comes down, and this great city of God is now here on earth, and we have a new heaven and a new earth, that's when God now is dwelling with us. Right? Because, you know, we see the description that we saw in Revelation 21 of the new city, and that God is in that city, and there's no more need for the temple and all the rest of that. Let's look at Revelation 21 and 3. We're talking about always being in the Father's presence. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." And I just want to focus on that last part. "And God himself shall be with them and be their God." And note that emphasis, right? And God himself. Why do you think the scripture says it that way? "And God himself will be with him, with them, and be their God." What does that signify to you, that sort of that emphasis on God himself will be with you?
Because we have his spirit before.
Say again?
Because before we have his spirit, like on the earth, we have his spirit. Now God himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, sometimes you'll say to somebody, you know, you're explaining that someone told you something, and maybe it turned out not to be true, or it's true, and you're relying on it, and somebody's saying, "You weren't told that," and you go, no, he was here, and he told me himself. Mm-hmm. Why do you say that? Mm-hmm. You put that emphasis on, "He told me himself." But what are you saying? No one else told me.
Right.
He didn't say that he was. No, he himself told me that. It's almost like I got it straight from the horse's mouth. He told me himself. That himself part is like the system said. No one else. There's no substitute. There's no representative. It's not God's going to be there in, you know, being represented by the priest or being represented by this or being represented. No. God himself. Anyway, there's not going to be no one. It's not even going to be the third person of the Trinity. It's going to be the Father himself.
Yeah.
And it's not something, because think about it this way. Jesus was on the earth, right? Mm-hmm. You know, God in the flesh. Holy Spirit has been, right, and walked around with man. Mm-hmm. And disciples and everything else. Holy Spirit now is on the earth and indwells the, you know, believers today. But God the Father, right? Mm-hmm. You know, this sort of the way Jesus and the Holy Spirit has interacted with man, God the Father hasn't been like that. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, we saw a little bit where, you know, he put Moses in the rock and said, "I gotta cover you up," right? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we talked about that last time. I said, "You can't see my face and live," and how that just now puts the promise of us seeing God face to face in such a context where we really should rejoice about that. Mm-hmm. But now God himself says, "I'm going to be with you. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Now look at what one scholar said in number 3. "God's glory will fill and permeate the entire new heaven, not just one centralized place. Thus, wherever we go in heaven, we will be in the immediate presence of the full glory of God. Wherever we go, we will enjoy the complete manifestation of God's presence. Throughout all eternity, we will never be separated from direct, unhindered fellowship with God." Now, in the life that we live now, But we can wake up in the morning, and it's a beautiful thing sometimes to wake up early in the morning when it's quiet, and you can get to your quiet place, and you can read your Bible, and you can pray, and you know, spend some time with God, right? You're a believer, you're dedicated to God, you spend time with Him, right? Is your time with God unhindered? You know, a hindrance is something that can get in the way. A hindrance is something that can make things more difficult. Right? Something hinders you. It hinders you from walking. Oh, I have a sore ankle. It hinders me from running. You know, so things, it can be made more difficult. It can get in the way. Is your time with God, let's say you get up early in the morning or late at night, you know, with everybody asleep, and you go and you spend time with God, you read the Word, you're praying and listening. Is your time with God unhindered? Uninterrupted? Nothing in the way? Nothing making it more difficult?
Sometimes,
yeah.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever been praying and then it's like you stop in the middle of the prayer and all of a sudden you start thinking about something else?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you start thinking about what you need to do that day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You ever been praying and you heard a noise?
Yeah.
And you wonder what that noise was?
Yeah.
You ever been praying and you fell asleep?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been praying and all of a sudden you just got to say, you know what? Lord, I'm sorry, but I got to go to the bathroom.
All of the above.
Are those hindrances?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So then tell me the times when you're unhindered. Because you're just sometimes.
All the time.
Huh?
All the time.
Doesn't it seem like there's just this, look, in this life there's always something.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And even in this, sometimes we're the hindrance.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get in our own way.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I bring that up? Because when the scholar here says about direct, unhindered fellowship with God, do you understand what that means? That means nothing will get in the way.
Yeah.
Just nothing will get in the way. And that's such a different, that's so different from what we experience now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can get a taste. Like, on this side, we get a taste of the glory.
Yes.
We get a glimpse. Mm-hmm. But man, what heaven is about is there's no more glimpses.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no more substitutes. There's no more representatives of God. It's God Himself.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more glimpses of, you know, a little taste of unhindered access. It's total, free, unhindered access all the time.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's on a totally different level.
Yes.
That I can only imagine is going to be, for you. In my spirit, I can just hear myself go, finally.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just finally. Oh my gosh, right? Nothing ever getting in the way anymore. Sometimes I get mad at myself when I'm praying and stuff, and then my mind starts going on to what I need to do today.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you know what I mean? Like, bring it back in. You know, it's a fight. Bring it back in. Like,
yeah.
Get focused again.
Mm-hmm.
Unhindered. And Revelation 21:22 says, I saw no temple therein, talked about in New Jerusalem. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, right? And so what we have here, right, is that there's no church building. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? There's no church building. That's one of the things I think we talked about this before, about the idea of some of these things are just really hard to grasp. Seeing God's face, it's a hard thing to grasp. I'm just receiving it by faith, right? That God has there's no temple, but we can still worship God. Mm. Right? And we know that. We don't need the temple to worship God now, right?
Right.
That's one of the great teachings, I think, of today, you know, of the church today, is to let people know you don't need a church building to worship God. Doesn't mean you don't need to go to church. It's just saying you don't need the building to worship God. Mm. You can worship God in your house, in your car.
Yeah.
In fact, because worship God really is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's not an activity.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a lifestyle. It's how you live. Do you know that being an honest businessman is worship?
Yes. Yes.
Because you're letting the whole world know that God... Because what is worship? Worship is really demonstrating what God is worth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so you let the whole world know that your relationship with God... Your relationship with God is so important to you that this is how you're going to conduct yourself.
Yeah.
So, for example, I went to BJ's. I told my wife this a couple of weeks ago. I went to BJ's, and normally I go and I check out myself. When I say check out myself, that sounds funny. I don't check out myself at BJ's. That sounded weird. I mean, I go to the self-checkout, you know what I mean, to buy my stuff. And so one day, I was on my way to the self-checkout, but I was coming across the aisle where they had cashiers, and one of the guys, he had nothing to do. He said, "Hey, you can come over here." So I said, "Okay, let him do some work." So I came, and I had, you know, I had small items, I put them up there, but I had water, and I had some other big items. That he said, "You can leave them right there." Mm-hmm. And he rung up my small items, and then he rang up something that couldn't it didn't register. And so he had to go away to customer service, get some number. He came back, he punched it in, and he pulled it up. And he goes, "Okay, your total is such and such, such and such." And I said, "Did you get the water and the other thing? There's like three other items." "Yeah, I think I got it." Then he starts looking at his receipt. "No, I didn't get those things." "Oh, okay." And he starts ringing them up. And then he says to me, "Thank you for being so honest." And I'm thinking to myself, thank me for being honest? I said, I am not compromising my relationship with God over some water that costs $3.99.
Yes, right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? Because it's not worth it to me, but more important, being in right standing with God mm-hmm. is worth much more than that. I don't care what it was.
That's
why if the cashier gives me too much money and I realize it when I get to my car, I'm getting out my car and I'm going back and I'm giving back the $10. You gave me too much money. Because it's not worth it. But more importantly, my relationship with God is worth it. And walking in integrity and honesty and all those things to me, is saying that I'm showing God how much I value you. Because I'm not going to deliberately do something like that, right? When I know that's not what you stand for. And here I am being called by your name. And do you know man does that to other men? For example, let's take your Pittsburgh Steelers. If you play for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers will let you know. When I'm signing you to this contract, I put in here a conduct clause. Because you can't act any old way you feel like it.
Yeah.
Because everywhere you go, you represent this organization.
Exactly.
So they'll let you know. You just can't go out partying and you know, making it rain and you know, kind of crazy thing and breaking up stuff. And then it comes out, because when it comes out, it's not going to be, you know, Joe Smith, like, did this. It's going to be Joe Smith of the Pittsburgh Steelers did this. Yeah. And you're going to bring my name and our name of this organization down with your mess.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't the same apply to us as people of God?
Yeah.
When you keep the money from the cashier, mm-hmm. when you tip out of the store because the guy forgot to ring up the water. Right?
Yeah.
When you go into the supply closet at work and take 5 pens. And people find out, well, even if they don't, but you know.
Yeah.
And your God knows. Mm-hmm. Are we pulling God's name down?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But when we don't do that, even though we have the opportunity, when you don't take the bribe, right? When you don't take the offer that you shouldn't take, aren't you, right, saying, isn't that what Joseph was about, right? When Potiphar's wife came on to him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He said what? He said, everything except you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. My master has given into my hand. And then he said, but he said this. He said, but I will not sin against God.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. By taking you up on your offer. Mm-hmm. See, that's what it's like. I will not sin against God by taking you up on your offer. Mm-hmm. And so we have the opportunity, and I think that's one of the greatest things that we can just get into our spirit, that we can worship God without the building, because see, God is, he's letting us know, because that's where it's going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why even Jesus tried to get into the heart of that woman at the well. Mm-hmm. Where do you worship? We worship on this mountain. What mountain you worship on? He's like, listen, the time is going to come, yeah, where it's not going to be this mountain or that mountain, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus was letting them know, it's not about place.
Yeah, that's true.
And so when we get to heaven, that's going to now be, and it's going to be totally fulfilled. Mm-hmm. There's no more place. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. But no one now got to see what your church looks like.
Exactly.
Because you know there's all kind of contests in the body of Christ right now to build the better, to build a better building.
Exactly.
We got HD screens. We have ultra HD in our church. Gosh. Come on, somebody. You know that we do all kinds of crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. But we don't have to do that, right? Because there's going to be no temple. Now look at what Randy Alcorn says. He said, in heaven, we'll at last be freed of self-righteousness and self-deceit. We'll no longer question God's goodness. We'll see it, savor it, enjoy it, and declare it to our companions. Surely we will wonder how we ever could have doubted his goodness. For then our faith will be sight. We shall see God. Let's break this down for a few moments. Okay, so we'll be freed of self-righteousness and self-deceit. He says this, we will no longer question God's goodness because we'll see it, savor it, enjoy it. Anybody here ever questioned God's goodness? And everybody on this side said, I'm glad Sister Pennell is sitting over there. Go that lightning bolt up there. So listen, I mean, you know, those times when you question God, you know, well, why did things happen? You know, why did something happen to you? Or why did God allow something to happen? Implicitly in that, if you've ever asked those kinds of questions, it is, you know, well, God is supposed to be good. Why is this happening? Right? Because if God is good, then bad things shouldn't happen. None of you, right? And you mature and you realize, okay, it's not like that. But as you, maybe in an early part of your relationship with God, that's the kind of thinking sometimes that some people go through, and some people even go through it now. And it may be in a time of weakness, we may find ourselves there again, where you go, God, how can you allow this to happen? You're supposed to be good. You know? And some of the things that do happen are just something that we can't comprehend because he's God and we're not. But what I think the point is this, is that we will see God so clearly, it can never ever come a time where we doubt God. Right? Why didn't you heal my loved one, Lord? Why didn't you save me from that? Why didn't you save my daughter from that abusive husband? You know what I'm saying? These are real things that people can ask and do ask now, because you go through some things on, you know, in this earth, and you wonder, Lord, where are you? I mean, you read the Psalms sometimes, and the Psalms cry out, Lord, you know, how long, Lord? You know, and why are they allowed to say the things that they say? And why do, you know, it seems like the, you know, the heathen and the sinners get away with all these things while we go wanting? Why, Lord? You know, people of God ask these questions. But what Alcorn is saying is that when we get to heaven and we see God and God is dwelling with us, all that's going to be completely gone away, because we will know the Father. I don't know about you, but the idea of just knowing God completely, not as a scripture say that we will know him as we're known. That to me is such a something that I just long for. You know what I mean? Because like many of you, and like maybe all of you, you know, seeking to know God with the limitations that we have, sometimes it's so hard.
Sure.
It just really is. You know what I mean? And you know, because you, there's just things you just can't understand, and we just can't understand here. You know, on this side, we just don't have the ability. And there's a fight. You know what I mean? Because like, you know God is good, but you say, but this stinks, Lord. But I know you're good. But how do you let it happen? You know what I mean? It's sort of like this internal fight. But the idea that that will totally be gone, because we will know God completely and purely, and we will see him in all of his goodness. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, there's part of his goodness that certainly don't even seem good, though we just can't comprehend it. I believe that anytime ignorance is lifted, this is why the world is such a lie. You know how the world says ignorance is bliss? Mm-hmm. Ignorance isn't bliss. Wisdom is bliss. When ignorance gets lifted, that's when you find bliss. See how this world tells lies? Ignorance is bliss. No, it's not. It's knowing. Right? You know what Jesus says salvation is in the Gospel of John? He said salvation is knowing God. No ignorance here. It's knowing God. And so the idea now that we're going to completely know him and all these things and the things that we just misconstrued while we were here, totally going to be gone. Now let's look at being with Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. And not only are we going to be with the Father, but we're going to be with Jesus. This is really interesting. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Those are the words of Jesus in John 14:3. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we know that scripture, right? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And in Philippians 1:23, the Apostle Paul says, I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. So, right, we die, we go to heaven, right, is to be present with the Lord Jesus. Paul talks about to be with Christ. And let's just stop there for a minute and just think about this. Just think about it for a moment, and maybe we'll talk about it more next week when we open up. What does it mean to you, and what do you think about, like, new heaven and new earth, and you're going to be with Jesus? I know we say it in church, yeah, I just can't wait to be with my Lord. You know, there's even a song, going up to yonder to be with my Lord. It does go like that. Right? You're going up to yonder to be with your Lord, but now you're yonder. Right? In other words, but now we're in the new heaven and new earth. Now we're there. And now, what does it mean you're going to be with Jesus? What does that mean? What does it mean? What are you going to do?
We're going to be in his presence.
Okay, but what are you going to do? I'm going to hang out with him. What do you mean you're going to hang out with him? What are you going to do?
Whatever I want.
Oh, come on, time is ticking. We got to go home. Okay, I know, but what are you going to do? What in particular?
Worship.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I think the Lord's telling us it's time to wrap this up. We're going to worship. No, I mean, we're now in heaven. Right? God the Father, I will dwell with you. And so now, no more temple. God is there. We know him as we're known. No more self, no more deceit, no more disillusion, no more ignorance. Right? And Jesus is there. And now I'm just asking the question. Jesus is in heaven. You're in heaven. You see Jesus. Jesus stands before you. What are you going to do? Are you going to give him the black man nod? Just keep walking? What are you going to do?
Talk.
Huh? Awesome. Well, finally somebody said something. You going to talk to him?
Yes.
I would hope so. I know since for now that's what you meant when you said hang out. I'm just trying to get specific. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to him. What are you going to do with Jesus?
Talk to him. Hug him.
Hug him. Right? You remember when Mary saw Jesus, right? When she realized it was him? Mm-hmm. If you've taken him, show me where he is so I can go get him. Right? Mary. Mary. She hugged him so much, he had to tell him, let me go. Don't cling to me. She was clinging on with no intention of letting go. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine you doing that? Or you going to be cool? Or you going to be too cool for school? That's Jesus on it. Yeah, I know. Sitting there with your hand in your pocket.
Give him a fist pat.
Yeah, right? What are you going to do? Give him some dab? What are you going to do? I mean, come on. I'm just saying. It's Jesus we're talking about here. Listen, I mean, I understand why the question is hard because, you know what? We probably don't think about it all that much.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's just one of those things, I'm going to see Jesus. Mm-hmm. But now we're trying to go, what are you going to do?
Think about that song that says, I can only imagine. You know, You know, you just be in the world. You really don't know.
I know. Mm-hmm. No question about it. I mean, there's some things that we can say we're going to do, but by the time we get there, we're going to do it. We're going to be rocking. Right? We're not going to know what to do, what to say, or anything. But the thing is, it's still good to, like, just the idea. Wait a minute. Understand something. This is no longer where I have to, you know, by faith, you know, just, you know, I'm hearing his voice and, you know, I'm seeing him in the scriptures. And those are all beautiful things. And God has a way of doing that and revealing himself to us in that way, right? Mm-hmm. And through nature and all these other kind of things. But now there's none of that. It's I see him. He's right here. Seeing Jesus. Let's just end on this one. Number five. Randy Alcorn. We will worship Jesus as the Almighty and bow to him in reverence, yet we'll never sense his disapproval because we'll never disappoint him. He'll never be unhappy with us. We'll be able to relax in heaven. I want to read that part right there. We'll be able to relax in heaven. Remember we were talking before about time, about whether there'll be time in heaven, and we'll say, and we were like, well, you know, it talks about months and right, and things like that. There are different indicators that we saw in scriptures that said, you know, yes, it's there's some element of time in heaven. But remember we were saying, but we won't be under the pressure of time?
Yes.
It's totally different, right? There's none of this stuff about your to-do list and all these other kind of things. Totally relaxed. And even here, so we'll be able to relax in heaven, relax in the presence of the Lord. The other shoe will never drop. No skeletons will fall out of our closets. Christ bore every one of our sins. He paid the ultimate price so that we would forever be free from sin and the fear of sin. And all barriers between us and him will be forever gone. He will be our best friend. And so now the idea, you know, because look, sin still gets in the way on this side. I don't care how well you're living your life. Every person is still doing something that is not pleasing in God's sight. And you know it. And I know it. And sometimes, even if it's not there, we can feel like we have. But sometimes we can feel guilty. Sometimes God has forgiven us for something that we haven't forgiven ourselves for.
Yes.
And so we still, so there's that thing that sometimes that's there. That's why I was talking about hindrances. Some of that sometimes can be in there. Ain't going to have none of that.
Yeah.
There's going to be no kind of, oh, I did this yesterday or that. There's nothing. You know? And now you're in his presence with nothing in between you. Right? Yeah, I can imagine maybe after I get myself together, I might just keep looking at him like, you know, one of them crazy, like, close your mouth kind of. And I could just see myself, I'm going to close here. I can just see myself, wherever Jesus is, if he was there and he started to walk, I just start following him. Then he walked over there and I just followed him over there. And then he walked. And you know what I'm saying? I don't think I would want to leave.
Yeah,
his presence. That's, you know what I'm saying? It may take me a while, maybe to sort of say something. I might not know what to say, but I think if he just started walking, I would just walk with him. I would just want to be with him. You know what I mean? We're going to look a little bit more at the next week, and then we'll get into some other things. But. We're going to take a look at John 17:24. Take a close look at that and read that verse. And we'll pick up there next week. And then we'll talk about, and then consider this. Here's a question for you to ponder. I don't know how many people are going to be in heaven, but it could be millions, right? Are we going to have to make an appointment with Jesus, or will I be able to see Jesus whenever I want, and you be able to see Jesus whenever you want? And can I see Jesus at the same time you're seeing Jesus, and can you be seeing Jesus at the same time she's seeing Jesus? Or is it going to be one at a time by appointment only, and we got to take a number or something?
I'm going to be waiting. That was too much frustration, anxiety.
I agree with that.
I can't see that.
Huh? Okay, but now the question would be, and we'll just talk about this next week, but what can you see? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that. But let's look at John 17:24, and let's consider that the next time that we come. Because again, if we're going to be talking about being in heaven, being with God, being with the Lord Jesus Christ, that is what it's all about. All these other things are fantastic, right? All the things, the activities we may do, the things we may see and all that. But like we said earlier, if God is not in heaven, Your GPS needs to recalculate.
Because neither are you.
That's right. Because neither are you. Amen. Let's pray. Praise God. I'm going to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to see my God in heaven. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. You are the God of heaven. And Father, we thank you, God, that our eternal destiny includes our dwelling place being with you and you dwelling with us. And we are just so grateful, God, that you love us so very much, that you desire to speak with us, that you desire to hear from us, and Father, you desire to dwell with us. Father God, continue to speak the awesome truth of your word into our spirit. And Father God, that even right now, God, we could just be filled with such gratitude, oh God, that we could can't even resist but to lift up our hands in reverence and worship unto you for the goodness of our God. We bless you right now, God, and we thank you, Lord, for our eternal salvation. And Father God, we give you the praise that we have life in heaven. Glory to God with you awaiting us, and we give you all the glory and praise for it in the name. Jesus. God, as we prepare to leave this place, we thank you, God, for your abiding presence with us. Go forward before us over these dark roadways and guide us safely home. We just thank you, God, for your faithfulness to do it. To you we give the praise. In Jesus' name.